Mums with Hustle podcast, episode 373.
Welcome to the Mums with Hustle podcast, where you'll discover everyday mum entrepreneurs killing it in their industry. Learn the secrets you can replicate to create your own success with your host, Tracy Harris.
From stay-at-home mum to part-time stylist and now successful digital CEO, Caitlin's career in the fashion industry has been a whirlwind. Oh my goodness. If you have ever contemplated what it's like to grow a membership business based out of your in-person service or traditional brick and mortar biz, then this is one heck of an episode for you. Through a series of low-cost offers, showing up consistently and generously on Instagram and also TikTok, and continued work on developing her entrepreneurial mindset muscle, Caitlin now runs a successful seven-figure online business, and I invited her onto the podcast to come and chat to me about that journey. You know, I wanted to pick her brains a little bit. On your behalf, of course, so that you could see how this beautiful mama was able to take what she knows and loves and was doing in a one-to-one setting and turning it into a successful seven-figure digital business through having an online membership. So Caitlin is spilling the tea on that. I also asked her about her confidence level in terms of video marketing on Instagram, because she is killing it there. So stick around if you're interested in learning about online memberships or course style of businesses, and of course, how Caitlin is effectively marketing hers on Instagram. Let's get into it. So welcome back to the Mums with Hustle podcast, Caitlin. How are you?
Thank you. I'm so great and so happy to be here. I think you were my very first podcast. Like, I think that was the first podcast I'd ever done. So it feels wonderful to be back here.
Oh, I know, but it feels like years ago because you were so different. I was so different. Our businesses looked completely different. Let's just rewind the tape. Tell us just a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do. You clearly have an online business, but who is it for and how do you help them?
Yep. So my online business is all around fashion styling. So I am a personal stylist. When you and I first spoke, I was just starting my
emerging
styling business. And it was very much like on the ground, not online. I had a blog, which is how I was talking to you, those good old mummy blogger days. But now it's very much video content. And I have a online membership, one of the largest style memberships in Australia, and an online course. I do a digital product every month called the Monthly Outfit Guide. So very, very different, but still absolutely around styling and fashion. And everything I do is to make style simple for the everyday woman who just wants to get dressed with confidence every day, whether that's snazzy activewear or like really polished corporate wear, whatever it looks like for them. Yeah. I really want to take the overwhelm and intimidation away from fashion and getting dressed.
So why is that so important? Like, what's the why piece? When the overwhelm is removed from us getting dressed, what becomes possible?
Yeah. Like, as much as I love putting together an outfit and getting dressed, what I want is that we have that moment of joy, like in the morning where it's fun to get dressed and or it's easy. Even if it's not fun, maybe it's easy. And then I don't want women to think about what they're wearing for the rest of the day, because when we're confident and happy in our outfits and also feel like it's really authentic in terms of like who we want to show up to be in the world, then the rest of the day can just flow. And whatever needs to happen, like, we're busy women. I make sure that what I wear in the morning, I can sit at a desk and go about the rest of my day without worrying about it. And I think we've all had those situations where we leave the house or start the day in an outfit that we really don't vibe with, and the rest of the day is not a successful day, or the relationships that you have, the conversations with your partner, it's all just a mess. And that's really how important the clothes that we wear can be.
Oh, yeah. Like I can say I feel completely different showing up, say, for a live or a live webinar training inside of one of my programs or speaking live at my own thing or someone else's if I feel confident in the way that I'm dressed. And not just what it looks like aesthetically, but like confident in how I feel in those garments that I'm wearing. Like, can I move? Can I sit? Like, all of that affects how I show up in that interaction.
Totally. And I like to keep my education around fashion really positive. Like, we often talk about what do you want to highlight and how do you want to feel? But I also teach my students and my clients, like, to recognize what do you need on your very worst day. And so we all have those days that we wake up and like just everything is off. We've had this idea of an outfit in our mind. It doesn't work out. We feel like we've gained 5 kilos overnight by some like miracle or not a happy miracle. But so then we need to know what do we need on those worst days. For me, I know that I need something with a sleeve. I always need something that is like high-waisted and I will always need a trouser. So I make sure I have those things in my wardrobe. So on my very worst day, I can just like revert back to that. And on the days that we feel great, we might have a bit more fun and experiment and stuff like that. But we all need to know like what's the baseline of things that we need on that bad day just to get ourselves out the door.
Oh, I like that. And I've never heard, I'm friends with some stylists, never heard that concept before. So I am storing that one in the memory bank.
Yeah, have a think about it.
Yeah, that's cool. So let's, I want to take the conversation with you in two directions. So I help women start, grow and scale digital businesses largely through memberships, online courses, masterminds of their own, retreats, virtual ones, in person, all of that sort of stuff. And so you have created yourself this amazing digital business, but you did share at the beginning that it started out very much on the ground, like a personal shopper, a personal stylist going in, physically doing people shopping or wardrobe detoxes, styling them head to toe, all of that sort of stuff. So at what point did it come into your awareness that you could be doing that in a one-to-many setting online? And how did you feel about it initially?
There were two reasons why I wanted to take it to one-to-many. One was I was a young mum, 2 kids at home. I was the primary caregiver and there was only so many clients I could do in a week. And that looked like 2 or 3 maybe, right? And I was like, okay, well, that's not enough for me to create and build a business. And I, at the time I had maybe 5,000 followers on Instagram, which felt good. Like it felt like a lot. And I felt like, how can I create something low cost that I could serve more women, and stop leveraging my time in terms of the amount of time it took me to travel and do all of that. So that's when I started to think, what else could I do and how can I serve more women? And then the second part of that was this feeling of feeling a little bit disingenuous with the service that I offered, in that I could only give so much education and knowledge in a 2-hour session. So I would take these women shopping and do my best to kind of share why I was choosing the piece I was choosing and what I was seeing and how it could work and all of that. But then I started to think, well, what happens next season when the weather changes? And what happens in 5 years' time when they have another baby or they go through menopause or something happens to their body and it changes? And I thought, every time, like, sure, they have this great session with me, but then I felt like they would be again stuck. And whilst that's actually a great model, right, for personal styling, and you have these repeat customers, and some women just want that, like they just want to meet with you and not think about it. But I really felt like my clients were investing in the session was a big deal to hire a personal stylist. And I felt that that was just inauthentic for them to feel lost again. So I wanted to create this educational program where they were set up for life, or at least, you know, the foreseeable future, and they had the skills, and then they could apply that back to themselves. So that was really the driving force of the course, which came after the membership. But the membership was really, how do I stop leveraging time for money?
Yeah. Tick, tick, tick. Those are three of the biggest reasons why I went into a one-to-many model, and also ultimately why I love the membership model. Like, the first is, it is a beautiful business model for everyone, but let's talk about mums because it's a Mums with Hustle podcast. For mums who want to have a successful business but do so from home and have that flexibility of like doing the school drop-off or going to the assembly or being at the school swimming carnival, like it gives you that in a way that a brick and mortar business or a traditional face-to-face service-based business just doesn't do. So I share that. And then your other point about, well, you really wanted to lift the lid on the limitation that you'd placed on yourself when you choose a business model that really can only serve X amount of clients at a time. When really, and I don't know if you found this, Caitlin, but when I was doing one-to-one coaching many, many years ago, and even offering a service, I used to do Instagram audits, people were having the same concerns, the same challenges, the same questions coming up time and time and time and time again. And for me, I was like, oh my gosh, like I literally, like a framework emerged. And I'm literally like, I can help you and you and you and you and you and you all in the same hour once a month for, what is my membership now? At the moment, it's $70 a month. It started out being $49 a month, but my coaching was $1,000 for 60 minutes. And so, you know, when I tie that back to my mission of wanting to help as many mums as possible to succeed in business, it didn't sit well with me because already when we think about equity of men in business, women in business, the stats are there in terms of, unfortunately, it's harder for a woman to get the funds to educate herself and da-da-da. So it's like I'm lowering the barrier, you know, and I'm not really fulfilling the mission if I only offer high-priced things like that. So for me, I was like, no, no, no. Morally, I want to do this too. So I don't know. Did you feel the same thing, like clients coming to you with similar concerns?
Yeah, absolutely, which I love now in a collective setting, because particularly with fashion and style, and the women that I serve are always women in a transitional point in their life. Like that's who I attract, whether it's a new mom, whether it's a new relationship, whether it's a big lifestyle change or menopause or something big happens that we find that we lose our way. And it's not a coincidence because that's where my business was born when I was feeling that way. So I'm sure that's why that's what I attract. But there's so much shame that comes with that. And there's so much vulnerability that women feel to get to a point where they say, I'm struggling with how I dress, or, all right, I'm really sick of buying clothes that I never wear, or whatever that is. And the benefit of having, like, I've now served thousands of women, like literally thousands of women, and there's probably five common reasons, right? And I love being able to share that collectively to take that shame away from it, because we all think that it's just our issue. When I struggled to get dressed after having two kids really close together, I thought I was the only one who struggled with that. So I love being able to welcome women in and say, we're all in the same boat. Like we've all got these similar things. And as I continue on my business journey, what I realize is it's so much, like my role is so much less about the clothes.
Yes.
It's so much more internal. And I'm like, did I get myself into like a
life coaching role?
Like, totally. Where I talk about like where to find a great pink jumper, but really let's go deeper. but it's just, I feel so blessed to have that much experience with so many different women of all different walks of life, because it's a really big gift when I can say, hey, Tracy, this is how you're feeling.
Yeah.
These are all the women who have come before you who felt the same, but also look at their incredible results. Look at how they're showing up confidently in their lives.
Yeah, there's like a social impact piece there.
Totally.
And I love that too, you know, normalizing conversations about what it's like to show up vulnerably on Instagram when your words are wobbly and you've done two nervous poos before you press the go live button. And, you know, it's the whole, is this normal? And then there's like hundreds of people there at any given time to say, yes, it's normal. You can do this. It gets easier with practice. All of that stuff comes into it. Yeah. So if you are thinking about having or learning more about the membership model, everybody, mm-hmm. like just think, is there an ongoing need for the clients or the customers that you currently have to keep being supported by you? Like Caitlin identified that, you know, her ladies were going to more than likely need her when there's a season change or a different phase of life. So is there an ongoing need? The next one is, have you accidentally put a lid or limited the amount of clients or customers that you can serve with the current business model or offers that you have? And if you want to expand beyond that without having to work more, then consider the membership model. And then the next one was perfect, like fits beautifully for a mom in business. And then the other one is, well, do you currently serve a community or help people with a thing that others actually have as a common pain or problem? Because then there emerges a need for a community. And it's a really beautiful way to serve and lead and make a contribution. But yeah, there's some of the questions, like ask yourself, if you're sitting there going tick, 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 or even just tick to a couple of those, then I believe you owe it to yourself to learn more about what it could look like for you to take what you know, love and do and turn it into a membership. So what does your membership now look the way that it was designed to be at the very beginning, or is it changed and morphed and evolved over time?
It looks similar. For me, it's just that community piece that is bigger and better than I could have expected. I think, you know, going with what you were saying, when you're thinking, could I create this membership? I think one of my biggest benefits was that I never was shooting for the stars, because I didn't have that much awareness of memberships, and your listeners are probably a bit more savvy than I was. I didn't really know the possibilities of a membership model in terms of how big of a business you can create. But I think that I never went in striving for thousands of members, you know, but I did want to create a successful business. But what I've learned is that the more women that have come in, it's mm-hmm. become this kind of like self-sufficient, thriving community. And yes, I deliver the content, and yes, I'm there as like the subject matter expert, but there's so much more value in there that I don't have to constantly provide,
yeah.
which I didn't know. And I love that. And I get inspired by my members all the time, and I'll try new outfit combos and stuff. But yeah, so in the way that it runs, it's very much the same. Actually, tomorrow, which is March 1st, it's 3-year birthday. So it's 3 years. But yeah, so it pretty much runs exactly the same, but it's just so much more value. And I am not the one that's always having to ignite conversation, which I love.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that can be a fear for people in starting or attaching a community element to a course or a membership. It's like, or doing any type of live launch event where there's a container that holds many people. It's always that fear of, what if I'm the only one sparking conversations? What if people don't write back to each other? So then I'm in there. Like, what if, you know, there's crickets, basically. That can be a real fear for people. But then there are people that have the other fear of, what if there's too many people engaging in the group, and do I have to get back to everyone? And like, it's just, it's too much. And they feel terrified at the thought of holding space for that amount of people.
Which is a lot. Like, that's a, you know, and I think that if I was to start another membership now, I would really consider, what do I want it to look like, in a way that I didn't consider when I started it, because I didn't know the possibilities. But, you know, there's pros and cons to everything. Not everyone's going to want a group with 1,000 people in it. But that's a really great tool to then, you know, work out the price point and how much value am I going to put it in, and setting these clear boundaries at the start, which I didn't do at the start. And so it's been an absolute roller coaster for me as well. But I do think that what's nice to know is that your members will go on the journey with you.
Like, yes.
I changed platforms. I went from Wix to Kajabi. I had to get all my members to cancel their membership and re-sign up right at the start, which I was so fearful about. There were 60 members there at the time.
But thank goodness you did it then, Caitlin.
Thank God.
My advice would be do it now.
Totally. We've been through so many different things, but your members, if you take them on for the ride, when you have that community piece, they'll ride the waves with you and give you the feedback and shape what it can look like in the future. So it's not something that you have to have all completely figured out
to start.
And the more that you can engage your members in what it looks like, the better it's going to be for everyone.
Yes. I had a friend, oh my gosh, she's just an amazing, insane entrepreneur. And she always says, like, her online course or courses are, I don't know, a bit more like formal or, yeah, I don't know, just a bit more fancy or informal, I guess. But her membership is like inviting everyone back to her house for the after party.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, it's just more chilled. It's more casual. I can rock up and say, hey, everyone, the coaching call actually isn't going to be this week. I have to reschedule. It's going to be here. You know, if you can't make it live, that's cool. I'm going to send the replay. But everyone is just way more chill, super close with her, super close with each other. And it's just this lovely organic thing. Yeah. So I hear what you're saying about that community. Like, inform your community of any changes or involve them in the process, because it's their space too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about you on Instagram, because you are rocking it. You have lent right into the video, which a lot of people pooped their pants about or are very resistant to it. By nature, would you describe yourself as like camera loving, super talkative, extrovert? No.
I probably am an extrovert, but a quiet one, if that makes sense.
I love that you say that, because a lot of people assume extroverts can't be shy.
Yeah. No, I am shy. I had a great job when I first started, Instagram. It was all just a photo platform, and that was right in line with my mummy blogging. And then I worked for an online brand called Feather and Noise. I worked with them when Instagram stories just started to come up. And so part of my job was doing Instagram stories. And it was literally just because I was forced to do it. Then eventually I was forced to do lives and talk about the clothes and stuff. And it was just practice. Absolutely just practice of getting up and showing up. I was telling Tracy off air that whenever I did a live, I would script it. Like, I would script what I was going to say in this live. And I was so afraid, like, what if no one shows up and it's going to be so embarrassing and someone's going to see and there'll be like one eyeball, you know, on the top of the thing.
Oh, and then they leave and then you see zero.
Yep. And then you say, any questions? Anyone got any questions? And no one's going to write in the chat. But one, it's never as bad as you think it's going to be. And two, like, I don't know, it's just practice is practice. And that's really how I got confident in terms of presenting.
Yeah.
Then when Reels came around, I was already pretty confident with creating content. But I found that I loved the creativity of Reels. And I kind of, instead of thinking, oh God, I have to do this and I have to show up and I have to do that, I was like, oh, I get to be really creative and I get to try something new, and really reframed that for me.
Yes, because that serves you and your business and your clients at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Versus the down and out, oh no, style of thinking. Yeah.
And I still have Reels that flop, you know, like in terms of whatever my flop might be. But I think when you just realize that it's never, like, nothing ever hangs on one reel, right?
Yes.
Like you get to do another reel tomorrow and you get to try again, or you get to take a break and, you know, refocus. But when at first, like, we have put so much pressure on every single bit of content we put out has to hit a home run. And if it doesn't, then we've failed and we might as well not ever try again.
Yeah. No, you don't want that to be that does not have to be the meaning that we assign. And it doesn't have to be, well, that's that resilience piece. It's like, okay, wow, you didn't die. Get back up, try again. Just keep going.
Totally. But for me, it was absolutely practice. And then it was really leaning into the creativity and enjoying putting content together. And I think that can be true for any kind of content, you know, carousels or written posts or, you know, I know, Tracy, you talk all the time about you don't have to do one form of content. The piece of content you should do is what works best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that you share that message, because just because I love creating reels doesn't mean that, you know, someone else can't have a successful styling business only sharing or mostly sharing static posts.
Exactly.
It's not what it is. Yeah.
I know. So, like, oh my gosh, so much becomes possible when we ditch that belief, or even listening to gurus who preach otherwise. You know, you must do this, you must do this. And what do you know? They sell a course that teaches that. So it's like, you know, just be. I mean, I've been around for a while now. I know how it goes. It can be quite fatiguing and then also entertaining. But being an Enneagram 1 personality type, my heart just gets sad when I see people not be able to put the marketing hat on and see behind, like, well, why is that person always pushing that? Oh, that's right. They have that course. So it's just like you are so perfectly and uniquely made. And there is nothing that you can't learn. And yes, we do need to go to the edge sometimes, all the time, actually, because, you know, growth happens outside of the comfort zone. It's not a cliche, it's true. But, you know, there are going to be things that you will become better at and be confident in because you practice. So if you're the type that does have to script out the live and have your engagement questions there that you're going to ask the audience and have the responses pre-prepared in case no one asks a question and all of that stuff, and have your call to action written down because you know you're going to forget it. Like, then go into it with the script, and that is okay. But also just start with where you're comfortable too. Like, you don't, like, Caitlin is not saying everyone needs to be going live, like, right now.
And it took me ages to go live on my own. And it's just things that just, like, you slowly start to add in. You just hit the new level and then you add something else in. Then that
yes.
becomes comfortable. Then you add the next thing in. It definitely, you don't have to look at someone like me or Tracy and think, God, I've got to be doing free opt-ins and I've got to be launching something and I've got to be creating new offers and doing Instagram Live. Like, it's a lot to take in. Just start with one thing.
Yeah. I think the same goes for launches. I see people, unfortunately, making the mistake of trying to duplicate a more complex launch style when really they would have had more success just with sending some DMs to the people that have already purchased something from them and maybe sending out an email. But now they've overcomplicated it because they've got a story about what launching should look like because they follow someone that launches with a particular style. Now they're trying to do that. Now they've overloaded themselves. The learning curve is too steep. The workload is ridiculous. And they also got one member out of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, it didn't have to be that hard, honey.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've done 10 live. Last week, I just finished my 10th live launch. I've never done a challenge launch. I've never put a free challenge out there. It's on my radar. Like, maybe one day I will, but I've just not ever come into a launch with the brain space to recreate, like, to create a challenge. And I've just not worried about it. Like, it's fine. I can still have a successful launch doing a masterclass, like a webinar.
They're my favorite. The masterclasses are my fave for me, you know, but not for someone else in my mastermind. I'd be like, you, no, You don't show off your best there, but over here you do, like with a different strategy.
Yeah. And I just started the last two launches charging for the webinar, like $7 or something. And it used to be free. And like that was the only new thing I implemented from one launch to the next. And like that's so fine. It's okay to, you know, just do what works for you, as you say.
Yeah. And I'm going to say that that's actually smart. Like you should be doing it 10 times. Like you would have amazing data points there to be able to scale things or know where to tinker. You can't scale something if you don't have the evidence behind it. Like if you're just going to keep picking different launch styles because they look fun or trendy, or, you know, Amy Porterfield did that thing over there, then it's like, no, you've like just lost it, you know, like keep going, optimize. Optimize means doing the same thing but getting better each time, like little tweaks.
Totally. And especially if it wasn't as successful as you wanted, instead of throwing it all out and starting again, going back to the start, you do yourself a big disservice.
Yeah, totally. I'm thinking right now of Jessica Reed in my mastermind. She's an amazing optimizer. Like that woman. And it's all from putting something out, paying attention to the data, making an adjustment, put it back out, like, and one adjustment at a time. And it's so cool to see. Oh, anyway, I get all like nerdy and excited about it. But Caitlin, thank you so much for coming on and just sharing like some of the things that people don't talk about when they have an online membership style business. And also what we don't talk enough about when it comes to Instagram marketing. It's like confidence doesn't come first for most of us, for myself included. And we can assume that people are doing things because they're confident. No, practice comes first, then confidence.
Yeah, and the confidence doesn't always stay. Like I think I was briefly mentioning to you, interestingly, what's happening for me right now is that as my audience grows, suddenly I get a few scaries with like when I think about how many people are seeing the content. What's interesting is last year I joined TikTok and just looked at TikTok as a big experiment. And I started posting things on TikTok that I never posted on Instagram and tried different content styles and had quite quick success because I just was
not attached
at all. And then now that my profile has grown, I find myself holding back because now I know that like the mums at school and the next door neighbors and my aunties, they all follow along. And so suddenly I feel again that I've like capped myself. And so for anyone starting out and thinking, oh my God, I'm like got a zero audience or such a small audience, I would say enjoy that time because it's so nice when you can just find your own way and really experiment and work out what you want to do. Because the bigger you get, you can get to a point where you suddenly become hyper aware of being too big and then worried about what you're putting out there, which is another thing for me just to like, I'm just, again, at that limit, but then I have to go up to the next limit. And it happens to all of us at all different stages. So I think keeping that in mind that there's all different struggles, but if you are starting out, just enjoy that small profile and use it as your chance to throw content out there and see what you love doing and what lands and have fun with it.
There's so much truth there. You know, people can say, oh, I wish I had 10,000 followers. Oh, I wish I had 100,000 followers. But honestly, do you? Do you? Because have you worked on, don't try to skip the steps of getting to the resilience mindset muscle of where you feel confident enough now to go live or to put out a piece of content and have that many people watching, or, you know, Instagram pushing your content out beyond your followers and now you've got randoms that don't know you, that aren't kind, that have an opinion. Like, are you at the level mindset and resilience wise where you can hold that? And it takes time to grow into it. So I like your advice around enjoying where you're at. You're at where you're at so you can learn the lessons that you need so that you can move on to the next level. And yeah, enjoy it. The first time I ever went live on any platform, I picked Periscope. It was a platform that not many people even know about now. And I picked there because I didn't have an audience at all. I didn't want my mum to see me. I didn't want my ex-colleagues from work to see me. I didn't want, you know, anyone, any of my friends, even though they love me. I didn't want them to see me. So I went and I experimented by going live on a platform where I was basically just a ghost, like a nobody. And heaven forbid someone watched, but no one that I know. But, you know, that was enough. And I was like, oh, like that was enough of being on the edge. And I love that you've identified that you've reached a new edge.
Yeah.
Which is exciting because now you get to work through that. I love all that stuff. Go, go, go. Oh, but just so good and refreshing to hear you bring awareness to that new edge.
Yeah. I think just enjoy the process because, as you said, you can't skip the levels. I love that. You absolutely can't. There's only one reason I can hold 1,000 women in my membership is because I started with 10,
yes.
Right? And then it went from 10 to 30 to 60 to 100, which was amazing. And then, you know, and it looks very, a membership with 100 women looks very different to a membership with 1,000 women in it. But you grow along with it. So yeah, you absolutely don't want to wish away those steps because that's what fortifies you to be able to deliver at that level.
I saw Abraham Hicks, law of attraction expert, I guess I'd say, speak last year, and they said quantum leaps are not trendy. They hurt like hell.
Mm-hmm.
That means you've skipped the steps, you know. It wasn't just a, oh, I had a whatever, like you've increased your income by this much. It's like it would be like going from 10 members to having like 1,000 members.
Yeah.
And now it's like, ah, I don't have the team. Ah, I don't have a community manager. Oh, my gosh, like so many customer tickets coming in. Like, can you imagine?
Yeah, it's like, crazy.
The weight of the responsibility for helping that amount of people get a breakthrough or get what they need when you're just like only used to serving 10 people. So it's like, let's bring more joy.
Totally. Enjoy
the phase that we're in.
Totally. Yeah. While still holding like what's
the vision. Possible. Yeah. That's
amazing. Cause that also is going to get you there, but yeah. Like I think about my admin team and the like, even now it's a lot, like it's a lot for them to do. Hopefully this has resonated with someone listening.
I think so.
Ready to enjoy the process.
I think so. People are naturally going to be curious about coming and checking out where you live on Instagram and the content that you create. So tell us, what's your Instagram handle?
Yep. So it's @ByCaitlinAnn. It is a lot of fashion reels. I produce a lot of content, because I love and I can, again, not something that everyone has to do, but for me, and particularly if anyone's listening is a woman struggling with getting dressed or going shopping or increasing their confidence, every single piece of my content, whether it's free or whether it's in my paid programs, is all anchored on this style made simple, ethos. So come along and have a watch and get inspired and hopefully you'll get some good ideas.
And get addicted.
Yes.
Because that's like, what will happen.
Yeah.
Well, I love seeing you pop up in my feed. It's always so, so cool and refreshing and fun. And it is simple. So there you go. You nailed your brief, your business motto. Thank you so much for joining us here. Instagram. What's your website?
It's caitlinmarwaha.com. So just my first name, last name. I know last name is a bit scary, but it's just exactly as it's, as it's said. But there's links in bio on Instagram too, so you can follow me through there.
Yeah. The first time Caitlin was on the podcast, I practiced her surname out loud like a gazillion times because I was so fearful of getting it wrong.
The W's and the A's, it really throws people off.
Yeah. All right, lovely. Thank you for joining us and for all the truth telling. You're the best.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care. It has been an absolute pleasure witnessing Caitlin take her business from being in person, literally doing personal styling, one-to-one clients, personal shopping, all of that. Hearing her talk about that startup journey in her earlier podcast episode way, way, way back. I think it's like literally 8 or 9 years ago. And now having her back to share what her business looks like now. Please know that what your business looks like now is definitely not where it's going to end up being. Don't quit. Persist. Invest in your learning. Remember, practice creates confidence, and place yourself in the circle with people that can elevate you and also place new creative ideas and innovative things that are going to help you grow your business into your awareness to begin with. Ah, so happy for this beauty and can't wait to keep following her and watching all of those cool videos on Instagram and TikTok. Until next week, my friends, stay happy in your hustle. Please subscribe or leave us a review if you enjoyed this one or any of my episodes. It means so much to me. Love you all lots, and I'll see you next week on the podcast. Bye.